Always a delight to come into the house of the Lord. You know, the psalmist David said that he was glad when they said, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." And Sunday mornings, we look forward to coming together and worshiping the Lord from our hearts, and to praise Him with our tongue, and to honor Him with our presence. You know, the Church of Jesus Christ that He has established here upon this earth when He was walking here among men is the highest ecclesiastical organization here upon the earth. And He is the head of the church, the Savior of the body. Appreciate your hospitality and your kindness as I've been among you. I appreciate Brother Joe and Sister Ramona's hospitality. They've been so kind and gracious, and my stay in their home. And it's a wonderful blessing to come before you this morning. I appreciate your pastor, Brother James. I appreciate his ministry, his preaching, his soundness. Brother James, I got children older than Brother James, so he could be one of my children. I knew his dad and loved to hear him preach. We were about the same age. But anyway, we're here this morning to look into the scriptures, and I pray that the Lord will open my mind to what is on my mind, to be able to deliver it to you in the power of the Spirit, and set it in such a way before you that it would stir your hearts and cause us to want to do more in our service to the Lord as we journey here on our pilgrimage toward heaven. This morning, I have on my mind some scripture found in the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 28. And I'll begin with verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw Him, they worshipped Him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world." We read also in the Gospel according to Mark this same commandment that the Lord gave to His apostles to go into the world. Now, when Jesus was upon this earth, He was sent primarily to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. It was not His ministry, by and large, to Gentiles. Of course, He did make exceptions, we know. But to His disciples, when He was here with them and teaching them, He told them to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, because they needed to hear the gospel of Christ and be enlightened and brought into the gospel church, which He established when He was here in this world. Now, Jesus is the head of the church. Sometimes people will ask me, "Well, who's the head of the Primitive Baptist, and where is your head?" Well, we don't have a group of preachers that are the head. The deacons are not the head, but Jesus is the head. And they will ask me, well, where is your head located? I say, our head's located in heaven, and it's Jesus. He's our head, and that we are His body, and we are blessed of the Lord to believe that He is our head, and that He is the Son of the living God, and that He is our Savior. And all that He taught when He was here in this world, and all that the gospel has revealed unto us as God's people, and that we have responded to that as God's people and become followers of Jesus Christ in discipleship. There is a distinction in sonship and discipleship. All of God's people are sons, are children of God, but not all of God's people are disciples. It seems like the Christian world cannot make that distinction, but it's very important for that distinction to be made. There are millions and millions of God's people now here upon this earth, but there are only a few of God's people that are disciples. Now, it's our response as children of God to follow Jesus Christ. That is our choice. That choice is not to accept Jesus and go to heaven, or to be saved from torment, or to be saved from everlasting shame and punishment. But that choice from our hearts, because of what the Lord has done for us, is to follow Him, to follow His teachings, and to be submissive unto His Word, and to walk in His Word, to bring honor and glory unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And so here the Lord Jesus is commanding His disciples, which is often called the Great Commission, to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Now, instead of being confined just to the Jewish nation, He's going to expand out into other regions of the world. Not only is the gospel been preached to the Jews, but now it's going to expand out to the Gentiles. But before it is to be expanded and reach out to the Gentile world, He told them to wait until the promise of the Father be sent to them, which was the Holy Comforter. Now, we know that the Holy Spirit has distinct functions, has distinct roles. We know that He is the life giver, and that the gospel has nothing to do with communicating life unto sinners or to those that are dead in sins. But we do know that the Holy Spirit works apart and separate from the gospel and quickens every one of the Lord's elect into eternal or divine life. But the gospel is to bring the light and the information of what the Lord has done for us. That is, the gospel reveals all that we have in Christ. The gospel reveals all the treasures that we have in Christ that are already ours, but that it brings the knowledge or the enlightenment to our minds and our hearts that we might be able to honor Him in our walk as children of God here in this life and to follow Him in His footsteps. And so it is, that's why that the Lord is opening the door of faith eventually to the Gentile world. But before that these disciples or these apostles are to go out into the world and preach the gospel, they are to wait. They are to wait at Jerusalem for the Holy Ghost, the Holy Comforter, that would be sent from above in the name of the Father and of the Son. Now, this function of the Holy Spirit is not to give life, but this function of the Holy Spirit is to bring the light through the gospel unto God's people. And Jesus has all power in heaven and in earth. That is all authority. God has entrusted Him, His Son, and our wonderful Savior with all power in heaven and in earth. In fact, He is the Lord of heaven and earth. He is our Lord. And He says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost." Now here is a particular commandment that the Lord has given to the apostles, to go and make disciples. It was not their job to make children of God. They couldn't do that. We can't do that. All the preaching in this world can't make children of God. But the preaching does make disciples of those who believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that He is their Savior. And from their heart confessing that He is my Lord and my Savior. And it is our responsibility. And we are accountable as God's disciples to follow in the word of the Lord. So it is that we are baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Now, baptism is very important for God's children in their obedience. This is the door. Baptism is the door into the gospel church. Now, baptism is not sprinkling, but it is being submerged in water. Now, in order for a child of God to be qualified to be baptized, of course, first of all, the child of God must be a child of God. He must be born of God, and then he must believe in the Son of God, that He is the Savior. And then he is to believe that He is the Redeemer of his soul. And he is to respond in accord with that. So it is that the child of God is to confess openly that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now that is the prerequisite in to the church of the Lord Jesus. And we find those examples in the Acts of the Apostles where that, you know, the eunuch preached the gospel. Or Philip preached the gospel to the eunuch. And when he finished, the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." So believing with all the heart in the gospel of Christ, you may. Now that's the qualification. And so it is that the believer in Christ is taken down into the water and plunged beneath the water and being raised out of the water to show that I believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And I believe that there is going to be a second coming of the Lord Jesus. And I believe He's going to raise me from the dead. And I believe that I'm going to live forever with Christ. Now, I believe that that's a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection. So it is that when the child of God commits his life to Jesus Christ, it's like a marriage. And they are to be committed in their profession of faith and confession until they leave this world. I've been blessed to baptize several people. And it's a wonderful joy. I've never had anybody that I have baptized or that has been baptized into the church say, "Well, I just regret that I was baptized into the church of the Lord Jesus. I wish I hadn't done that." I had never met anybody. I had never had anyone that I baptized tell me that. That I just wish I hadn't done that. Now, baptism is a wonderful blessing for the child of God to openly profess and to walk in the fellowship of the church of the Lord Jesus. Now, I like to baptize believers. And of course, believers are the only ones I'll baptize, people who truly love the Lord. And I want people who love the church. They love the Lord, but they love the church. They love the fellowship of the church. They love the saints of God. And they want to be committed unto the fellowship and working in the church, you know. It is a work in the church that God's children in the church need to be busy in the things of God. And we need to do that to glorify our Savior. And everything that He's given us to do, we don't have to make something up. He's given us everything that we need to do in His Word to bring honor and glory unto Him. The church is a light here in this dark world. What would we do without the church of the Lord Jesus? Where would we go? We ought to thank God every day of our life that we have a place to come and to fellowship together with brothers and sisters of like faith in Jesus Christ. Baptism is very important. And I've been blessed to baptize a lot of God's children. I'm thankful for that. And I've always enjoyed that. And I enjoy seeing them enjoy that. And I think that there is a reward in baptism. I've baptized people and they just seem so free. And now it's something that they have done that the Lord has told them to do and commanded them to do. And they have received a joy in that act of baptism, being put under the water and being raised to walk in newness of life. Baptism is a wonderful blessing. I was baptized when I was 13 years old, and I've never regretted being baptized. I mean, there were people. I was baptized in a cow pond with a bunch of cows and with some other young people. And I've never regretted that. I wish I'd have lived up better than I should have. But I've tried to live as good as I could by the help of God and to bring glory unto the Lord Jesus, my wonderful Lord and Savior, in walking in this way. I thank God in His providence that He blessed me to see the beauty of the church. The church is a beautiful. And when I say church, I'm talking about the Lord's people that are walking in the way of the Lord. You know, before the Lord got a hold of me, I was brought up in the church. I was carried to church. I was drugged to church. I knew on Sunday morning I didn't have to get up and ask, where are we going today? We're going to church. I believe that our children, we should make them come to church. If you make them go to school, you ought to make them come to church. It's the best place for them, isn't it? It's good influence on their lives. It was on mine. But when I saw the beauty of the church, I wanted something better than just being on the outside. And I tell you, there's a joy in joining the Lord's church and baptizing people into the church has been a blessing to me. Several years ago, I baptized a lady. She is 88 years old. Well, she was brought up in the Primitive Baptist on the absolute side, and I'll not get into that, but anyway, she remembered all the time she was brought to church and the Primitive Baptist, but she had gone off into another religion. My wife worked in an office, and one of her bosses, she was his mother-in-law. And she told him, she said, I'm just tired of where I am. She said, I'm not getting fed. I need something. And she said, I want to go to a Primitive Baptist church. And my boss, her boss, said, well, my secretary is a Primitive Baptist. My wife, it's my wife, Karen. She's a Primitive Baptist. And her boss gave her the number, said, I want you to call her. But in the meantime, she said, well, I'm going to go find that church. I'm going to go find the building. And so she scouted it out and found the building. And we got in contact with her. And she said, well, I'll be there Sunday. And so there she was, 88 years old. And she just fell in love, and it wasn't that long she joined. 88 years old. She said, now, I've been baptized twice before. I said, no, you haven't. I said, no, you haven't. I said, you just got wet. She said, well, I did what they said to do. I said, well, that's all right. I'm not degrading what you did. I'm just saying that if you want to be a member, you have to be baptized scripturally and gospelly into the church. She said, well, this is what I believe, and I'll just have to do if that's what I got to do, I'll have to do it. I said, yeah. And so she did. She joined the church, and she was so happy. I'm telling you, she's just a bright light to us. You know, that's sometimes a hang-up for God's children when they see, well, I love the truth. I love the church, but I don't want to go through that water again. I've already had that done to me. Well, really and truly, if you want to be a member of the church and you love the gospel, then you ought to be willing to do what the Lord has commanded you to do. And a few years back, we had another brother. He'd been coming 38 years with his wife. 38 years. And He's sitting back there with her, and his wife said, "Well, I don't know really what he believes. He won't talk to me about it." I said, "I know what he believes. I can see when I'm preaching that he believes the gospel. You know, I can tell when people believe the gospel. I can tell when people believe the gospel. I mean, you can see it on their countenance, on their faces, when they believe the gospel of Christ." But anyway, several years ago, he called me, and he said, I need to talk to you." And this was on Saturday morning. I said, "Well, let's just meet Sunday afternoon, and we'll talk." He said, "No." He said, "I got to talk to you now." And he was in town. He said, I said, "Well, we'll meet at the building, and we'll talk." So he come down and sat on the front, and I scooted the chair up. And he began to tell me, he said, "I've been sitting back there 38 years, and I believe what you've been preaching. I believe the doctrine of Primitive Baptists. I believe in salvation by grace." And he said, "I'm going to join the church tomorrow." I said, "Hallelujah. That's wonderful." And his wife, he went home and he took her by the hand. He said, "I want to sit down here. I want to tell you something." She thought it was some kind of bad news. And he said, I talked to Brother Danny, and I'm going to join the church tomorrow." And she said, "If I hadn't been sitting down, I'd have fell down." I said, "I told you that that's what he believed. And he can't do enough for us. It is a blessing for God's children to be baptized into the gospel church and to live their life in the church all the days of their life here as they make their journey toward heaven. In the church is where we learn of Christ. This is for poor and needy people. It's not for the self-righteous. It's for the poor and the needy. You know, Jesus, in the 11th chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew, said, "Come unto me, all ye that are laden and heavy-hearted," or, you know, if you're burdened down with your sins, he said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." This is for the burdened and the heavy laden. Come to me. Now, this coming to Christ is experiential in that by faith we come to Christ. The child of God by faith comes to Christ. And their faith is in Christ. Come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. This is not to everybody, is it? This invitation is not to everybody in the world. Now I hear that this is for all people. Come to me, and I'll give you. Now he's not talking about eternal life here. He's not talking about you come to me and I'll give you eternal life. He says, "Come to me, all ye that are laboring and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." What does the child of God need? He says, "I'll give you rest." That's what he said, "I'll give you." And that's a wonderful spiritual rest in Christ. Come to me and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. This is the yoke of Christ. This is not the yoke of men. That's too heavy. That's too burdensome. This is the yoke of Christ. He says, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." It's no task. "My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Take my yoke upon you. For I am meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest for your souls." There's a rest that is given and there is a rest that is found in our obedience to the Lord. Many, many years ago, that's when I was young, and I first came to Afton Road Church when I was 22 years old, and there was a veteran and his wife, they started coming to church, and this man was in World War II, this brother, and he told me his experience. He said, we were in a battle, and we were pinned down by the Germans, and they were shooting a machine gun. And he said, I was hit, and they had to come and pick me up and put me on the stretcher, and I could feel the bullets. He said, I didn't know if I would make it out, but I did make it out alive. And he said, I believe in the providence of God, and I thank God that He blessed me to make it out. And he said, I have found something here. And he and his wife joined, and he walked on crutches, and he had braces on his legs, and had to have help to take him down into the water. Deacon helped me, because we had to put him in a chair to baptize him. And it was a wonderful blessing. He said, you know, the Lord spared me, and here I am, that I have found something for my soul. He said, this is what I needed. And, you know, he was very faithful. If a man could do that, in his condition, why can't a child of God who can walk come down the aisle? You know? Why can't he do that? You know, the church is a haven of rest for us here in this life, isn't it? I want to live an Old Baptist and die one. Because of what the Lord has done for me. You know, it's the best place in the world. It is a joy to be in the fellowship of the saints, of believers, of like faith. How we can be a blessing to one another in our life. You know, the church is a place of participation. You know, it's just not a place to visit. But it is a good place to visit, but it's a place to participate. You know, the members need to be active. They need to be participants, and they need to be lively. You know, aren't you glad that you're an Old Baptist? Aren't you thankful that you know the truth and that you have this wonderful blessing to be together and to communicate with one another and to support one another and to be a help to one another? What's the church for here upon this earth? It is a place where we fellowship together. The church is that which God has established for His people to be together, unified, in one mind, in one accord. And that's the way the church should be. We should be submissive to one another and look upon one another as better than we ourselves, and to be servants to one another. You know, we are to serve one another in the church. I'll tell you, the church has been such a power in my life. I mean, what would I have done without it? I don't know where I'd be without it. I tell you what, I wouldn't be as well off as I am now without the church, without God's people, without their fellowship. On Sunday morning, we ought to get ready. I'm not just talking about dressing up. I'm talking about getting ready. And praying. You know, you come to church, you say, I'm ready for you to preach to me, preacher. But have you been praying for him? Have you been asking the Lord to lay upon his heart what you need? So I need preaching of grace. Well, we do need that. I don't want any duty preached to me. Well, you know, we do need that too. But not just duty, but we need to be stirred up. We need to be revived over and over again. This is a place where we can be revived in our lives. Because we go out in this world, and it's a dark place. It's a hostile world that we're living in. But we can come together in a place where there is peace, where there is a spiritual peace, and nobody can take that away from us. They can take civil peace away, but they can't take the inner peace that we have in Jesus away from us. This is a house of prayer where we can come together and pray together as individuals and as collectively, as a group of people looking to the Lord and asking Him to be in our midst, asking Jesus. And I'll tell you, when we come together in the church, Jesus is the main attraction in the church. We don't need any celebrities. We don't need anybody like that to be an exciting place. It's an exciting place in our hearts when we look upon Christ and by faith we're walking and we're trusting in Him to lead us and guide us as we travel here in our pilgrimage here in this old world. It's a place of pleasure, of divine pleasure, that we can walk together. And that's how it should be in the church, together. We should be ready for immediate action in the church. I tell you, I love to see people when they come in the church that they're happy to be there. I'm excited to be there. I want to be there. No other place like it here upon this earth, because it's the Lord's possession. I know your pastor. I know he's excited when you come, and he feels that you're happy to be here, and that you want to hear him preach the gospel of Christ. I tell you what helps a man to preach is when people really are hungry and thirsty after the Word of God, and that they've been reading and studying, and they've been praying, and the Lord pours out upon them the blessing that they need to hear. And you know, the Lord leads and guides your pastor to preach to you the things that you really need and to stir your hearts up that you might walk in this good way. Yeah, we need to be lively. And you know, other people on the outside, if they see what you have, maybe they'll want to know what you got. What do you have? What makes you so optimistic in life? I had a fellow tell me several years ago. He said, how come you're so happy? I said, well, I tell you what. I'm so happy because of what the Lord's done for me. I'm happy because of what I believe and my fellowship with the people of God. He said, well, I know a little something about what you old Baptists believe. He said, I don't like that predestination. He said, I don't like that. I said, well, let me ask you a question. I said, are you, predestination is to be conformed to the image of Christ and live with Christ in heaven. And you tell me that you don't want to hear that? He said, well, if you put it that way, I don't know. I said, I had a fellow, we met up, I knew him, his children went with my children. He said, I just don't want to hear about predestination. He said, that's just something I don't want to hear about. I said, well, if you believe what the Bible says about it, that we're predestinated to live in heaven, predestinated to be like Christ, and be predestinated to be with God for eternity. He said, I just want to hear about Jesus. I said, well, if you're predestinated to be conformed to the image of Jesus, isn't that hearing about Jesus? I tell you, you won't hear about it in this world. You won't hear the gospel out here in the world. Now, I know everybody has bits and parts of truth. I'm not saying that. But here you're going to hear the whole bowl. You know, you're going to get the whole thing. You're going to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank the Lord that we have what we have. And it's a treasure. And we ought to prize the treasure. And we ought to esteem the treasure that the Lord has given us as His people. Primitive Baptists need reviving. I know I do. We need reviving. I can remember back when the churches were full. Our society is decaying, and sometime maybe it has spilled over into our lives. But we are a separate people, and we need to, you know, make a mark here in our discipleship that we're going to be faithful. By the Lord's help, and work out this salvation, not to heaven, but every day by the help of the Lord. We can't do it of ourselves, but it's by His help, looking to Him, that we walk in this way and be committed, because we have married the Lord in our lives. May God bless us to be faithful and loyal and true until we leave this world. May God bless you.